Hello there, and welcome to the Irish Genealogy Podcast, the place where I talk to you about all things Irish genealogy, from births to baptisms to dog licenses, and I'm not kidding about the last one. Share, subscribe, enjoy, and let's get into today's episode. Welcome to the first episode. Now, I figured I'd speak about something that is widely used for people who either start out, are experienced, or are in between. And that's civil registration. For anyone that is familiar with Irish research, you will know that it can get fairly difficult at times because prior to 1829, there weren't that many records. That's because of the Roman Catholic Emancipation Act 1829, which freed Roman Catholics from the penal laws, which were anti-Catholic laws, which, for instance, denied them property rights. They couldn't buy land that belonged to Protestants. They couldn't vote or be elected to Parliament. They couldn't have weapons or marry Protestants either. And this is a kicker as to why we don't see many records. Catholics were forbidden to exercise their religion. And yes, that means that they would not have been able to do baptisms, marriages, or burials. Although, even though they were banned from doing it, it was still practiced in secret, and it wasn't really policed that much, as long as they kept a low profile. Which meant that there are some records going back to the 1700s, but probably not as many as we'd like. But I will do a more in-depth glance in a future episode about the penal laws and what they meant. We are not as fortunate as England, who had started civil registration in 1837. We started civil registration in 1864, 27 years after England did. So there is a bit of a gap, but we do make up for that in parish records, which I will talk about in another episode. For now, I'll talk a bit more about civil registration. With civil registration, non-Catholic marriages were meant to be recorded as of 1845. This is the only exception as to civil registration in Ireland prior to 1864. Anything other than that would have been done 1864 or onwards. But what I've done is I have three certs from my own family history, and these are going to be of my great-grandfather, John. So I have his birth cert, and this is what is on it. So it gives the entry number for the certificate. It gives his date of birth, which is December the 1st, 1876, in Rosslevin, in Kilchima, in Swinford. His given names, if any. So he was just named John. He was male, and it gives his parents' names. So it says John Loftus, and spoiler alert, I had too many Johns for my liking in my family history, when he was living in Rosslevin as well. And Mary Loftus, and her maiden name, which is Burke. There's a lot of Burkes in Swinford as well, so it wasn't easy trying to find their family. It also gives his father's occupation, which was a landholder. Then the qualification, residence, and signature of the informant, which was John Loftus, his father, who registered the birth. And his residence, as I said earlier, was Rosslevin. The date of registration, which was 20 days afterwards, so December 21st, 1876, and then gives the signature of registrar and the baptismal name if it's added after registration of birth and date. Now, I have not seen this one filled out for many, if any, that I've done, but it's there for a reason, therefore it has been used. For a marriage cert, you have the cert number, the date of marriage, so March 15th, 1911. Now, this is to my great-grandmother, Ellen Noon, so it gives the name, so John Loftus and Ellen Noon. It gives their age. Now, full was over the age of 21. In some cases, I have seen it give the exact age, well, I say exact, the age that they said that they were, and also if it says underage as well, but in this case it said they were both full age. So it gives their condition. So he was a bachelor, although I found that out not to be true. He was actually a widower. And Ellen was a spinster. John was a farmer, and Ellen did not have any occupation at this time. John was living in Rosslevin, and Ellen was living in Treenduff, both of which were common places to find my ancestors. And it gives their father's names, which was John Loftus, like I said, on the birth cert, and Michael Noon, which is her father, and they were both farmers. Now, with father's names, it just gave father's names. But in 1956, there was a new format of marriage cert brought out, which included the mother's name, which I am looking forward to seeing when the time eventually does come where I can see some from the 1956 onwards. It gives the church that they were married in, so Church of Bohola, again, Bohola was a big place for me, in the Registrar's District of Kilchimaa, in the Union of Swinford, in the County of Mayo. And then this marriage was solemnized between us, so John Loftus and Ellen Noon, and in the presence of us, so this is the witnesses, Patrick Philbin and Sarah Noon. Sarah Noon turned out to be a sister of Ellen. I have not found out who Patrick Philbin is yet. So for a death cert, it gives the entry number, the date of death, so August 8th, 1957, in Treenduff. The name, John Loftus, male. He was married. Now that it'll either say bachelor, spinster, married, widow or widower, depending on the gender. The job he had, which is a farmer, it gives his cause of death, which said cardiac failure and senility. And it gives the informant's name, which is his son, Luke, my grand uncle. And the date of registration, so October 26, 1957, and then the registrar's signature. Alternatively, if you'd rather view these in writing, I have done a blog post on each of these for the Hidden Branch website, which I will link in the show notes below. But you may be thinking, am I able to view them for free? And if so, am I able to see images as well? And yes, you are. This is thanks to a site called irishgenealogy.ie, which was started by the Department of Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sport and Media in Ireland, which really helped people's research for Ireland because it allowed them to view any record from the start of civil registration up to the 100-year rule that we had for births, 75-year rule for marriages, and 50-year rule for deaths. And you're probably thinking, well, what does this mean? Unlike some other places, we have a 100-year rule for how early we can see births. So as of November 2021, we can only see images of birth certificates up to 1920. But when next year, 2022, comes around, we'll be able to see certificates up to 1921. This covers the period of 1864 to 1920, which allows us to see the transcript and the results page and the image. However, there are some that do not have images and are just transcription only. For marriages, as I mentioned earlier, the only exception in Irish genealogy for civil registration is for non-Catholic marriages from 1845. And as I mentioned earlier as well, we have a 75-year rule for marriages, which means we can only view marriage records up to 1945 from 1864. And finally, for deaths, we have a 50-year rule, which means we can view certificates up to 1970 from 1864. However, we are able to view images for births and marriages in those periods, but as of now, we are only able to view certificate images for deaths from 1872 to 1970. This is because, as of now, the images for 1864 up to 1871 have not been added. So all that you will see is a page number, their age, the returns quarter, the returns year, and the returns volume number. on the death result, but easily distinguished from the other results, so you'll know if you're able to view the image or not. Now that you know what kind of civil records are out there, now is the time to get searching. When you go to the IrishGenealogy.ie website, there will be a civil records option at the top, which will bring you to a search field where you can type in the name that you want. Now, a few tips. Firstly, if you don't know what a wildcard is, you're about to find out. A wildcard is essentially an asterisk in the place of a letter. This is useful for when you don't know what way a name might have been spelt. For example, Smith could be S-M-I-T-H, or it could be S-M-Y-T-H, or even I've seen S-M-E-E-T-H. If you include the asterisk, it'll include all of those possible name variations, which can really help you in your search. As well as this, there are things called registration districts. And I have, again, for the Hidden Branch website, a list of registration districts which I have made available to download, which I will link to in the show notes as well. This is a list of any registration district in Ireland, which is where people obviously would have registered their child's birth, the marriage, or the death of someone. One thing I have seen come up a lot is the topic of people being truthful with their ages. Now, I can see where they're coming from, because, you know, age is not a massive, you know, thing that they kept a track of. So a lot of the time it might have been a case of they said that they were, you know, 70 because that might have been what they thought they were. This is in relation to death certs in particular, due to the fact that it is not the actual person who is filling it out, it is an informant. In my own family history, it's a bit touch and go in some places. Like for Ellen, who I mentioned, she was truthful on her death certificate. Like my great-grandparents got the age right, or they might have been a year off, but nothing too largely, you know, a giant age gap. It's not as if they were like saying they were 87, they were actually 71 or something. So it hasn't been that bad. But it is worth keeping in mind when looking at your tree. Well, this says that she is 58 in 1911, but she was only 53 in 1901. And then on her death cert, she was 69 on her death cert in 1914. This is what I mean, because which can make it quite confusing sometimes, but it's worth to always evaluate any sources you can find. And that's episode one. Thank you all so much for listening, and do stay tuned for episode two. I'm not certain as to when it is going to be coming out due to my educational commitments at this time. However, I felt if I can get any episode out, why not have one out rather than none? But stay up to date with me on my social media, which I will link down in the show notes as well. And any other bits I mentioned will also be linked down in the show notes too. So thank you all so much for listening, and see you next time. And if you want to go and see a transcript for this episode, go to danielsgenealogy.com/TIGP to see a transcript of all episodes now and upcoming.